He is deliberately trying to keep me distracted.
If you haven't been by Baton Rouge any time in the last 3 days, you would likely have heard this and seen the stadium itself holds 95,000. They estimate that there's another 150,000 in the parking lot that never make in.
That's because they can't? Or they can't walk that far?
They're packed. Sold out. There's as much of an audience outside the stadium as there is inside.
Well, there you go.
Raised planters. Rocky soil. All Tucson's right. Not unique to that.
No, not a bit. And first of all, let's determine what you want to make these raised planters out of. Now, there's probably a lot of cases for making them out of something like a bell guard, stack,
man,
wall type material. You can, they're certainly attractive. They're forever.
Zero maintenance forever.
Okay.
If you do masonry, do you have to do something inside to keep the water from wicking out?
No.
You don't, but they do sell a geotech cloth you can line it with.
And then that'll keep any kind of
keeps the face of it a little cleaner.
Yeah.
With the porous soil that you got just bleeding through. You don't need to mortar it. You don't need a cement mixture. You don't need nothing. You're crazy if you do it out of anything else.
Now, considerations would be where you're going to put it. You want to make sure that it gets, a good half day of sunlight. You don't want to stick it back in the deep recesses somewhere between the house and the wall or something. And then the other thing I think you have to be careful with a raised planter is, remember, you got to get up in there and be able to harvest, plant, pull weeds, do all those kinds of things. So be careful how deep you make it, or if you're going to make it width-wise, make sure you've got paths that once you get up in there, you can walk around. You can't reach only so far raised planter. It's different than being on the ground.
If your raised planter was butt height and 4 feet across, you could do everything from a sitting position, just reaching in from both sides.
There you go. And if you can do it all the way around, if it's up against a wall, you're losing a side of that, so maybe it needs to be just a little narrower than 4 feet. So you might want to even measure how far can I reach, so the width to comfortably make it. Or, like I said, make it big enough that I've seen it where we've built them where you actually can put a little pathway down the middle of it so you can get up in there and do it. I would also, if you're going to go to the trouble of making something that permanent, put some type of watering system in it.
Oh, yeah.
And also have it at least some sleeves in the corners where you can slip a PVC pipe in there and make a hoop out of it so you can put bird netting or shade or that, that type of extend your season with shade cloth, cover it with frost cloth, cover it with bird netting, make it kind of bird and weatherproof at the same time.
In the last couple of years, vertical gardening has really seemed to start catching on. People growing vines vertical, the watermelon just naturally grows, the vine supports it. Mm-hmm. What is the minimum if he's going to have something that's going to take up that much room where, he's growing it vertical? Obviously, you don't want to start at 3 feet tall because then you need a ladder to start picking it. What's the minimum soil depth? 2 inches, 6 inches, 4 inches?
About 6 inches.
6 inches is your minimum depth you want for good root.
Right. And let's talk about the soil, because that then is the whole really reason for doing a raised garden.
Oh, man.
Is so that you have soil, you don't have the soil like concrete, right? So you don't want to just go buy some native soil. I get this question a lot of people. Then they build a raised garden and they dump about half native soil back in it. You just kind of defeated the whole purpose of doing that. You want to get a good blended soil. They do make a raised bed mix, like a Mel's mix. You can mix your own with peat moss and compost and some perlite or vermiculite. If you have a soils or landscape material place in your area in Tucson, a lot of them will blend a soil for you, depending on how many cubic feet or cubic yards you need as to whether it's justifiable to do it in bulk or not. But you want to do what we call a soilless mix. You do not want to have any native earth mixed in with your raised garden at all. It needs to be all good organic type materials so it drains well and it's a good, rich surface. And just one point, he said dirt. Dirt is what we sweep up off the floor. Soil is what we grow plants in.
Now, would this excel. I mean, this would greatly. I mean, when we did our first ground mount garden, you were talking about the ground, the dirt, the soil is like soup. A year, every year, it gets better and better. I mean, it was 8 years of us tilling, enhancing, tilling, enhancing, tilling. Before I thought we had any. I'll never do an in-ground garden again, ever. Everything I would ever do would be raised. Just for that purpose. You got good soil day one. Go.
True. That is true. And some of that, though, is going to depend on how big your garden is. You know, it gets quite expensive if you're trying to grow, you know, if you got a quarter of an acre in raised beds where, you know, if you're growing, the most families, though, a nice raised garden is going to be plenty big enough for them.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. We're going to stay in Tucson and bring John into the conversation. He wants to talk about citrus this morning. Welcome to the program, John.
Thank you. Rami, I've got a problem with my navel orange tree. It's about 4.5 years old, and it's grown quite tall, but it doesn't seem to be producing. At one point, it had a few pieces of fruit or blossoms on it, but they never matured. And I think perhaps the frost that we had about a year ago might have affected it somewhat. I'm just wondering if there's any special treatment I can give it besides water, some nutriment that might help it.
You say the tree itself, foliage-wise, it's growing, it looks good,
yes.
It's green, healthy-looking.
Yes.
You're just not getting any fruit to set?
Correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Well, a couple things. Number one, it's not that old, you know, 4 or 5 years. It takes 2 or 3 years really to get any production started at all. So you're just a little bit past that. Second thing is it's a navel. Navels do not like hot, dry, desert conditions. So if we have the wrong hot, dry wind at the wrong time in late May or early June, it can drop all of its young fruit that maybe it's set. A trick with navels is to plant them kind of in and amongst other citrus trees to where they're a little bit more protected, got a little more humidity. That will certainly help them. I'd definitely put some bark or some mulch around the base of the tree to hold some moisture around it. And, of course, fertilizing citrus, and we're going into now our Labor Day kickoff day for feeding citrus for this late summer feeding. So making sure you're feeding it about 3 times a year, Labor Day, then again about Valentine's Day, and then Memorial Day.
I started last week. I was reading my organo directions, and it said, you know, water heavy before fertilizing. Well, it rained all week, so I'm like, well, I'm throwing the fertilizer on now, baby.
There you go.
So, I mean, a week or two isn't
either way. It's just kind of a reminder that that's about when we want to do it.
1-888-767-4348. Staying on the citrus topic, Michael in Scottsdale, welcome to the program.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
I'm along the same lines. I couldn't hear the question of the previous caller, but I've got a Meyer lemon. It's about 6-7 years old. I've had fruit production. It's been in the ground with me now for almost 5 years. I've had fruit production every year, but I don't have any fruit on it at this point whatsoever.
Well, lemons and limes got froze pretty hard last January. You remember last January, that really hard freeze we had? I'm sorry?
I didn't have a very good crop last year.
Yeah. Well, see, citrus produces fruit on second-year-old or older growth. It doesn't produce on new growth. So if it freezes back and you cut it back, and it grows all this new growth, that new growth is not going to produce any fruit. It's that wood that froze that you pruned off that would have produced fruit this year. So every time it freezes, you lose a year.
Man.
So, and limes and lemons are the most tender of our citrus. So those are the ones that seem to, you know, to obviously affect the fruit production, where oranges and grapefruits, not so much. You know, it might have affected them a little bit. I've got a tangerine tree. That tangerine tree is just absolutely loaded this year. So it didn't affect it at all. So if you had a lime or a lemon, you might have had a little bit of a problem. Come on over. We can never eat them all.
That would make you more vigilant in frost protecting your...
Well, especially a Meyer lemon, which is a dwarf or a smaller size tree, is pretty easy to protect, although it got so cold, even people that covered things had a fair amount of trouble.
And that was four or five nights in a row it was below freezing, if I remember right.
Oh, at least, you know, depending on where you lived. And then it's the number of hours that it's when it, you know, there was nights it was already at 32 by, you know, 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And it stayed there till 7 or 8 o'clock the next morning. So you start getting 10, 12 hours of sub-freezing temperatures. It does a lot of damage. A great way to grow a Meyer lemon, though, or a little lime, if you live in a colder area, is in a container or a pot or something that can be moved around or kept maybe a little bit under or close to the house or under the patio cover.
You know, it's one thing on a cold night when you're crawling in underneath the covers and getting ready to call at the end of your day and you realize, well, I don't think I covered everything I should have. Well,
that's pretty hard to get up out if you're already crawling.
You know, it is until you realize you may use 2 years of crop. I mean, now that would be enough incentive for me to put my britches back on and go cover the Meyer lemon tree.
Right.
Now, we were talking earlier about peanuts, and Mom had taken an interesting call about a recipe for something interesting with peanuts I had never heard of, and I'm not sure anyone else had ever heard. So we're going to... Jennifer?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Miss Prudence called this morning, and she's a regular caller, and she said that she heard y'all talking about peanuts, and this was the first year that she had ever planted peanuts, and she had kind of fair luck, it sounded like, but she also had a recipe for us, and it's called peanut punch. So you ready for this?
No.
Okay. Well, you've heard of boiled peanuts. Well, I'm sorry. I cannot develop a taste for boiled peanuts, but I think I could like this. You take the peanuts and you boil them with a little bit of cinnamon in the water. And then you pour that whole thing in the blender and get it real smooth. And then you add a little milk, a little nutmeg, and a little vanilla. And it makes like a nut milk, which I've heard of before. And it sounds really good. But she said you can also do that with okra.
No way.
But she said it's pretty slimy. And I said, I have to think that does not even sound like I'd like to try it.
No, you
pickle your okra. You pickle your okra and you can make your peanut punch.
Interesting. And that was Prudence that called in with that this morning?
It was. Very sweet lady.
Thank you very much. And she got in by dialing 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. I have 6 beautiful okra plants. I mean, the stalks are, you know, that big around, a good 2-inch diameter. But they're starting to flower. Am I just losing the okra itself?
Well, that's how you get okra. They got to flower first.
They flower, and then when they close, it turns into?
Right.
What about when they go to seed? What happens when they go to seed?
Well, you've left the okra on there too long.
Yeah. Okay.
So the okra is a seed pod, okay, that you're eating. And if you leave it on there too long, it's going to get big and tough, and then it's going to get dried out, and then it'd have seed in it that would be viable at some point.
I have a little tip for your okra. You know, we talked about how one day you go out and they're little tiny, and the next day they're so big you can hardly use them. So I kind of lose my motivation. But remember those Debbie Myers green bags I talked about? If you go out and pick the okra when it's small, you know, like a good size, maybe 1.5 inches, and put them in there, then you can gather up enough. They'll keep long enough that you can gather enough to do something with them.
Oh, okay. Because sometimes you only got 3 or 4, but then the next day you get 3 or 4, and the next day so after 3 or 4 days.
Right. So you leave them hoping you'll have enough at the same time, and it just doesn't work out. So that's a good tip, the Debbie Myers green bag.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you.